and the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be watered, or you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Isaiah 58:11. We think along those lines, right? This, the garden of life, is it? Or is it the garden of death? We're invested in life or death. God's given us this promise of eternity. We walk within what? The sense of being forgiveness, not condemnation. I turn the other cheek, forgiveness, repentance, forgiveness. Yes, of course. And the Lord will guide you continually. I'm being guided by scripture, by thought, by word, by deed, by wants and needs. The emotional attachment or resistance that I find within this world isn't denial of his presence. Rather, it is an acceptance of what he's given to me. The Holy Spirit is the enactment guiding within me continually. Even while I'm asleep, I'm protected, I'm safe, I'm being guided. And satisfy your desire in scorched places. What's the desire, the want, the need? So the want and need is relevant. How quickly we are as humble servants, not so much the humble servants, how quickly we are as condemnation of hypocrites, of those that are saying one thing and doing the other, of telling other individuals that their desires shall not be satisfied and that the scorched places are places that they shall exist. Well, that's not about us. That's about him. And make your bones strong. Strong in a sense of might, right? You continue to grow. You continue to prevail. Yeah, you shall be watered, of course. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. John 19:41, a burial, saying goodbye to the iniquity where no one had been laid. Crucified there was in the garden. Crucifixion is no more than a sense of salvation through the blood, a sip of the cup, if you would, the body and the blood. We are redeemed, we are forgiven. It's very, very relevant. I think a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. Why are the tombs already ready? Because too many of us are choosing death and not choosing life. The garden itself is no more than the commitment to life. I want to watch it grow. I want to see prosperity, a bountiful harvest. I'm redeeming it, reaping and sowing. Some of us are sowing and reaping. Think about it. Yeah, I think both work. It's adequate. But that garden is relevant to you. And you're the keeper of it. You've got the key. You're the one that's got the seeds. That's got the water. You've got the fertilizer, the food, if you would. You can feed it. You can grow it. You can pull the weeds and you can toss the rocks. But it only grows when you give it that sense of pertinence. If you lay it down, if you let it rest, it dwindles. And I don't like dwindling. I like to see it to rise above and beyond, and to know what's coming. Awake, O north wind, and come, O south wind. Blow upon my garden, let its spices flow. Let my beloved come to his garden and eat its choicest fruits. Song of Solomon 4:16. We've got it there, don't we? The wind blowing, and come. Awake, O north wind, and come. It's coming from the north. And oh, south wind, blow upon my garden and let its spices flow. Germination, don't you think? Germination in the sense of pollination? Sure, it's actually happening. Pollen is floating through the air and the garden is growing. This is fruit multiply. The reference is fruit. Let it multiply, let its spices flow. Let my beloved come to his garden and eat his choicest. Was it fruit, right? Choicest fruits. So I think, and I could be wrong, let my beloved come to his garden. The spices flow, germination. Love multiplies, it grows. We're supposed to procreate in this world. We're supposed to have children. We're supposed to advance in every way, shape, and form. A garden, a fountain, a well of living water, and a flowing streams from Lebanon. Song of Solomon 4:15. Everything that he's provided, though. Why the limitation? Why the restriction? Should it be of death? Should it be of something of being condemned? Am I limited or restricted? Is it okay? Do I need to ask for permission? Still, because of the life that you're growing, it doesn't have to have a restriction. I find it to be amazing that it's tattooed on our heart, is what somebody said. I don't really believe that. I believe it's in our DNA. It's within the Holy Spirit, the enactment, the heart, soul, mind, thought, word, and deed, that we continue to advance. That our trails and our paths within this garden of life can advance. We might start off with a real tiny plot. Some of us might start off with these little saplings right inside the house. Just little saplings coming up in a wet paper towel. Very good. And eventually we get to a point where it's acres upon acres upon acres of growing. But those acres, those strains, those variables, the trees, the saplings, yes, of course, the branches, the veins of life, they go off into the different sectors that we found to be fruitful. And in some cases, there's light. In some cases, there's dark. And in some cases, there's darkness within the light and light within the darkness. But it's relevant to him and it's relevant to us because our garden continues to grow. When does your garden stop growing? The moment that you stop learning about it, the moment that you stop watering in it, the moment you stop investing in it. Life isn't made up of what somebody else wants it to be. It's made up of what you find to be relevant. Because, one thing that we can't control, Lord help me, and I wish that we could, is the biological aging process. Well, that clock keeps ticking. It keeps going and going and going. It sounds like the Energizer Bunny. Boom, 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 boom. It just keeps going and going and going and going. So one thing we can't control, and we're reminded it is his time, right? The eternal clock, the treasures of heaven, storing our treasures where? In eternity. I want to make it to heaven. I'm invested in it. I believe in it. Take your garden to a completely different existence. Let the strains of your existence be a reminder that he has been an enactment in your life. I think as we advance in the biological clock, psychologically, there's different stages. The reflection stage is one of the most common. You hit 60, late 60s to 70s, and some cases before that or some cases after that. And it's a reflective stage. Some say you're reminiscing, you're looking back. It's hindsight. I can't change it now. But you're reflecting on what you did, what you were capable of accomplishing, who they are, the ones you cared about. You did do right for them or you didn't do right for them. When you hear about it and you think about it, you'll notice that each and every assertion of thought, feeling, and emotion, even a social verbal reprimandation, you're releasing it, you're proclaiming it, a confession, a prayer, is no more than an inequity in some way, shape, or form. I guess things turned out all right. That's your confession. You're still not happy. You're still searching. When we hit that reflective stage in life, when we're at our latter days, if you would, when we're at ease, when we have peace and contentment, when we know patience is of the virtue and that we've laid our heart, soul, and mind to rest with Christ, our Savior and Redeemer, you shouldn't have to question anything. You should feel good about what you're doing. But you'll notice that that mirror, the reflective stage, only becomes relevant when you're in your latter days, 60s and 70s, when you're way out there. And how come? Because it's relevant to you at that point. My darkest hour, Hail Mary, come into my heart, soul, and mind, receive me. Now all of a sudden, what do I got left? I lived a life. I ran the race. I was tried and true. I mean, I continued to make the right decisions. I've made some bad decisions, Lord, forgive me, but I've continued to make the right decisions. And you know what? I'm going back to you. I'm going back to Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. So here's what I think and here's what I believe. We can't let the resentment of what happened or did happen be the load bearing or the oppression at the end of our lives. If your life is only made up of accomplishment and in material accomplishment, what you did right or what you did wrong, well, you failed Christ miserably because every action and decision you've ever made, he already knew what decision you were going to make. You were already forgiven. You were redeemed and life continues to go on. You don't need to be scorned. You don't need to be bitten. You actually don't even need the lacerations, the whip cracking across the back, splitting the skin wide open as you bleed out. No, yes, of course, you need holy water. You need blood and bread. You need to be fed. Yes, you need to be down on your knees. Confession, forgiveness, repentance. Somebody said, rebuke, turn the other cheek. So the reflective stage is no more than the confession of we didn't get what we want. But on a very, very deep sense, if you were to look at it, somebody's looking down from you, smiling, saying, I guess you got what you wanted. And that's it. We get what he gave us because it's him. And not somebody else, Lord, forgive me, for you shall be like a oak whose leaves withers and like a garden without water. Isaiah 1:30. What is faith without acts? What good is any laboring without deeds or deeds without laboring? Your belief is relevant when you work within it. So is your garden of life. When you're active within it, when you're working it, when your purest form of testament, proclaiming it and the devotion, you move right within it. Talking about it, theory, reason, practical application, that's right, it's not right, the righteous child or the evil adult, it ain't going to get you anywhere. What's relevant to him is that you're continuing to advance. There is no right, there is no wrong. It's about him, it's about you. When we get to the point to where the truth has set us free, and we're capable of putting it in His hands, and we don't have to look back in resentment. We don't have to worry about the decision somebody else made. We can completely let go. We can walk away smiling, being happy. Very good. Guess what? Then it's about us, because He lies within us in thought, word, and deed, heart, soul, and mind. And now I don't have anything to worry about. Well, that reflection might say that maybe I should start enjoying life. It's never too late to turn over a new leaf, to turn over a new page, to be born again or be saved and redeemed. And we find that principle, that policy, the enactment to be very relevant biblically. On so many different cases, He speaks miracle within the heart, soul, and mind. He turns us over. He evolves us. He continues to grow within us. So me looking over my shoulder saying, I guess you got what you wanted? That's not relevant. It's only relevant to me, because it would be no more than a confession. Well, I guess this person turned out to be a pretty good person. She must have learned her lessons. That's only relevant to that person, because they're the ones that are proclaiming it. The same score measure that you use for others and God-given or creature-taken will be the same score measure that gets used upon you. There is nobody in this world, God help me, there is nobody in this world that can or shall in any way, shape, or form continue to upheave you, continue to deprive you. You shall not be limited, restricted. Have you heard? God is love. And because of His only Son, yes, Christ, you are forgiven. You are redeemed. Salvation, hallelujah. Incarnation, through the blood, they said, I believe. So let it be the words that you proclaim that truly move within you, the purest form of testament to your devoted path, for the walk that you've taken and given is going to take you places to where only He could have taken you. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Genesis 3:8. Why would you hide yourself, though? Like you have something to fear. You heard Him, the Lord commanded, the man saying. You heard Him saying something. So why are you going to run from Him? What do you have to hide? Think about it. We run from Him because we run from ourselves. Denial of His existence within our hearts, souls, and minds is one of the most destructive paths we can ever take. You can have an abundance of everything on this earth. And now I walk within the Spirit, so I am no longer under the law. That chaps some of you few individuals, doesn't it? Oh, you don't right want to hear it? That's bloody hell. It's bonkers. Nobody believes in that. Yes, of course. But we actually move within that mindset, that purest form of testament. We don't have anything to worry about. But making a mound out of an anthill, you're only making things worse on yourself. Put more into it than you even need to. You gotta let go of it. It'll eat you alive. These are things that we commonly find within this earth, that our garden, our heart, our soul, the blood, the heart, soul, mind, thought, word, and deed, what we're invested in, how He's invested in us, the temple, the synagogue, the focal point. Yes, of course. We're consecutively being turned around. We're consecutively going up and back down. I might often find myself praising, singing right at the top, clapping the hands, a fan to the face. I mean, I'm right on in it. Sounds like trumpets from heaven. I mean, ooh, did you hear the way that choir sounded? It was outright gospel preaching to me. Elvis in Memphis, couldn't get enough of it. Could take just a few days after that. Here we go, boom, right back down to the ground. Now I'm crawling, I'm a slave to Scripture. I'm no longer forgiven by Christ. I'm no longer redeemed. In fact, now I'm condemned. Now I got something to worry about. Not only do I have something to worry about, but everybody else that I see and encounter, I'm going to make sure that they got something to worry about. It flows. Oh my goodness, it flows. And so does the garden of life. They say that love multiplies and so does life. I tell you what, it takes just a little bit of sin, wickedness, and death, and it ruins the whole orchard. One drop in one 55-barrel gallon of drum changes the parts per million dramatically. Now it's toxified. Now it's not clean. It's not pure. It's not of Him. And He said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Genesis 3:10. So you ran from God because you were exposed? That He knew all of your iniquities? That you didn't have anything to hide? And I like privacy, forgive me. I mean, I believe that God is private in the sense of commitment, caring, compassion. Yes, of course. But we run from ourselves. Some would say it's emotional attachment, conscience, if you would. I don't like the decisions I've made. I ran. But he already knew every decision you were going to make. He already knew that you planted one row of one seeds in the wrong spot. You didn't put enough footage in between them. Read the package if you would. Very good. We advance because he advances. And when we stop, he stops. Have you ever heard of the living God? Boy, he moves in worlds within us. I mean, worlds upon worlds upon worlds. I don't have anything to worry about. Oh, you think that I should wait? Wait for what? Heaven doesn't wait on anybody. It's for real, and it is the living God, and it's eternity that I embrace. So I was naked, and I hid myself. Yes, of course. Sometimes we hide ourselves from our true identities. The truth will set you free. Don't forget you are fully clothed, that he has forgiven you. You are redeemed. You are accepted. The great counsel, the shepherd himself, he is guiding you and setting you free. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Genesis 3:3. Don't we get that, though? Anybody know what that tree was called? What type of species? How many rings? How many years it was grown for? It was called the tree of knowledge. Boy, I tell you what, when we get smart and we get really smart, it don't take but one bite and we're right off to the races. I tell you, we need to rebuke, we need to confess, we need to repent against ourselves. Some of us, we're walking right in the mirror and looking at that person, then we don't like the image that's looking back at us. Well, I guess that person did all right, didn't they? See who I can change today and see if I can get a little bit of it. Don't forget, what did Adam and Eve do for you? How very relevant. If it wasn't for them, you wouldn't even be alive. Let's take a moment just to be thankful in every way, shape, or form. And they will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and the desolate and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. Ezekiel 36:35. That's a tough one, isn't it? They will say. So they're proclaiming it now. What happened here? This land was desolate and has become like the Garden of Eden. It was desolate. What happened? It was demons. It was possessed. The waste and the desolate and ruined cities are now fortified. Inhabited. Well, we moved right on out. No, we didn't want to deal with it anymore. There was no form of life here. Everybody was condemned. I didn't like the reflection. It seemed like it was getting dark and dark and often. And I'm cold. Does anybody have anything to warm me up? Let me put a sweater on. Sometimes it is that darkness, it is the wind, it is the breeze that enlightens you and reminds you of the latter days. I'm not saying the self-reflective notion doesn't get you to where you need to be. What I'm telling you is it gives you a sense of certainty. This is what I like in life. You might have heard me proclaim it today. I'm going to have to get back to my life now. I mean, I ain't mad at you, but I'm going back to my life. I'm going back to the life that I appreciate. I'm really into it. I enjoy it. Before you know it, you start talking all these different amount of years, and it just gets way, 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 way out of task, and you're wondering what happened in life. In the blink of an eye, it can all be over. Of course, in the blink of an eye, it can all change, and you can have zero to hero or hero to zero. That's your decision. Where's the garden? One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, did I not see you in the garden with him? John 18:26. One of the servants of the high priest, who are you? No more than a humble servant, a relative of the man? You're still a humble servant of God. Whose ear Peter had cut off? My goodness. Did I not see you in the garden with him? Our testament, our walk, is it relevant to the scripture, the condemnation of somebody else? I just don't think that you should be doing that. I don't think it's right or wrong. You can tell somebody, I don't think you should take it any further. I think that's enough. Gonna have to let him go. Things along those lines. But don't, and I mean, Lord, forgive me, don't forget that we have to be accountable for our own decisions. The moment that you're not accountable for your decisions and somebody else needs to be accountable for them, you've bit off way more than you can chew. And I'm telling you what, I'm not sure if you're hungry. You might be thirsty. But remember going back to the cup, the little bit of bread and a little bit of blood. Yes, of course, the crucifixion, the salvation, truth will set you free. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade, outright made in the shade. Yet, when it is sown, we're talking about reaping here, it grows up. You advance, you theologically, emotionally, spiritually, physically, intimately climb the ladder, becomes larger than all the garden plants. You outgrow everything else, all the offsprings. There is no more comparison notion. It's not bananas and pears and apples and oranges. We ain't worried about it anymore. And put out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. What are you experiencing here? More life. Yes, of course, more life, so that the birds of the air can make more nests, they can procreate, and God's creation can continue to advance and evolve. Mark 4:32. There's life all around us every day, each and every way, and we don't need to say goodbye to it. We don't need to condemn it. We need to embrace it, how to learn, how to love within it. Well, the purest form of His testament, you can write it right on my headstone. Well, my garden of life received a bunch of prosperity. And I actively every day experience sustainment. You live your life condemned. You live your life obstrued, being put in shackles and chains. The gods that you've chosen have no more than denied you the freedoms and liberties of actually having a life. I've always wanted to, but I never did. Sounds like eternity. I always wanted to get there, but you know what? I never did. I ain't mad at you. By the way, it's never too late. Better go check on that garden. Looks like we got some storms coming in. I apologize. Shepherd your people with your staff, the flock of your inheritance, who dwell alone in a forest in the midst of garden land. Let them graze in Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old. Shepherd your people with your staff, your own bloodline, the multiplication of life. God is love. With your family, with your offspring, with your blood. Man is not intended to be alone. It's supposed to be man and woman. The flock of your inheritance. Outright sounds like a fleet. The flock of your inheritance. Birds flying. Your inheritance, the promise of eternity. Yes, of course. Who dwell alone in the forest? Why dwell alone? Because I don't have a point to prove, and I know I'm never alone because He's still with me. In the midst of the garden land? In the midst of, I'm right in the middle of it. We're still growing. There's branches coming out everywhere. Still got to toss the weeds and pull the rocks. You just like the way that I said that? Excellent. Let them graze. Graze. We're eating. We're hungry. We're eating it up. We are the animals. We are the fruit. The fruits and the deeds of the labor. So let them graze as in the old. As in the days of the old, we continue to advance. Micaiah 7:14. He feeds us, and we get fed. And when we get fed, we're capable of giving it back to Him. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. That's just it. Isaiah 61:11. For the earth brings forth its sprouts. Here it comes. You're going to see growth. You're going to see life. It doesn't need to be right for you. It's right for Him. Yes, of course. And the garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up. You got to focus on what you're worrying about, what you're invested in, troubles, worries, concerns. I don't think so. Faithfully redeemed joy, happiness. I'm walking or outright turning the other cheek. I'm running away. So the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise. You ever notice the righteous child still get to learn, still get to stumble, still get to fall, and then here comes the praise. Hallelujah, you are saved, you are redeemed. Boy, it feels good to be alive, to sprout up before all the nations. Amazing. Very, very good. Amazing. So our garden is no more than the testament of our wants and our needs, but yet the direct reflection of Him working within us, being empowered, moving the heart, soul, mind, thought, word, and deed, intellectually, emotionally, physically, spiritually, are our sprouts. And when we have laboring of deeds, when we lend a hand, when we help other individuals, ask and you shall receive, that is God working within us and continuing to multiply and grow within life. Before you know it, you see His love sprout up before all the nations everywhere, a multitude of it. And how much is it? How much is it, if you don't mind me asking? I tell you, there's a bountiful harvest out there. It's more than you could ever imagine, because it's God delivered. It lasts for eternity, and there ain't any restrictions or limitations on it. You're good to go just like every other day. You will be forgiven. You will be redeemed, and you don't have to worry about being condemned. Well, God, help me. Let me wrap this up in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father in Christ, our Savior, Redeemer, let our gardens of life be the reflection of what seeds we've been planting. Let the reap and sow mindset of giving and taking, but being reminded that a giving, God-given, creature taken, is no more than a direct reflection of the Holy Spirit being the enactment within us. Let every careless and wanderingless stern deed and laboring of acts directly be a confession that He works within us. And when we are working within our gardens of life, remind us that when we fall, when we chop the hand off, when the tongue gets cut off, when we jab an eye out, that it's never too late to be born again, to be turned over, and to have a brand new life, because you, because of the salvation, the blood, the body, the bread, the church, the state, yes, of course, our Creator and our Savior and Redeemer, we are saved, we are redeemed, and our garden shall continue to grow with love, with patience, with guidance and growth. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and Christ our Savior's name we pray. Amen. Don't forget to follow me, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Check out the Buzzsprout feed. Got some interesting things going on here the week of Pentecost. Somewhat down on the Bible verses, so don't get caught up into, well, you didn't release the scripture. It's going to be a little bit different this week. You might want to catch the live talk. I'm doing these live talks usually around 8 o'clock, I think. 8 to 9, somewhere in there. I'm not sure if we can utilize ears and antennas to let individuals know. Select group, I was doing Jesuits, Franciscans, some of the BYUs, and I had very wells. Some of them, I apologize, but yeah, very, very compelling, some very good notes, and it really helps for a sense of the theological advancement and growing the garden. We are the youth of the nation. God bless you. Have a very, very good day. Thank you for the continued support. Thank you for giving. Thank you for listening. And I hope that your garden is bountiful and full of blessings, endless blessings, if you would. God bless you. Have a very good day.